Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of January, 2012, the one-year anniversary of the Buckmaster Show. Hope you had a fantastic New Year's holiday. Today is the first day, of course, back to work for most people after the holidays. Officially, the 12 days of Christmas do not end until Friday, which is known as Three Kings Day. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Plus, there are three anytime listening sites for you, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We launch today's show with a conversation with the state of Arizona's chief financial officer, Doug Ducey. He is the Arizona State Treasurer. We'll talk with Mr. Ducey about the state's financial outlook for 2012. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, host of the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Then 30 past the hour, what are the prospects for jumpstarting Arizona's film industry in the new year? And we will close out the show with a look ahead at what is planned for this weekend to mark the one-year anniversary of the Tucson January 8th shooting tragedy. We encourage you to be part of the conversation, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. You can always email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We will begin today's Buckmaster Show with the Arizona State Treasurer, Doug Ducey. And joining me in studio to question Mr. Ducey is Shelley Fishman, the host of our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, which will come up at about 20 minutes past the hour. Mr. Ducey is talking to us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix. Happy New Year to you, Doug.
Happy New Year to you, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, and I think the state, from what I'm hearing, is doing very well. Maybe not very well, but certainly an improvement over 12 months ago. What is the update?
We certainly do have a year-over-year improvement. I mean, if you think of it in terms of the numbers we can report today with $1.25 billion in the state's operating fund, and think of that, Bill, as the state's bank, and you look back just last December or even the December before, where I think people will remember that we were actually negative $700 million. So our swing in terms of a positive cash balance in the state has been dramatic over the last 2 years, and you really have to credit a number of things, but one is a legislature that can actually cut spending and demonstrate some fiscal discipline, and a governor who can say no to bad ideas, and then a positive cash management plan out of the treasurer's office. And in addition to that, we're seeing somewhat of an uptick in the economy. So the direction is the right direction, and we're getting there slowly but surely, but we're not yet out of the danger zone.
Doug, here's Shelley Fishman, who does our Moneymaker Report on Tuesdays. Go ahead, Shelley.
Good morning.
Hi, Shelley. How are you?
How are you? And Happy New Year to you. Have a question regarding the flow of cash that is going to be coming in over the next few years and how it may be reduced. Two things that we know about, the one being the cancellation or the expiration of the sales tax, and then the other, isn't there a cut in business income taxes that is supposed to take effect in 2 years?
Yes, there is, Shelley. There's two things that are topical and need to be thought through and dealt with by the legislature and everyone that has a financial position in the state, and that is the expiration of the temporary sales taxes in May of 2013 and the reduction in the corporate sales taxes that happens in that same time frame, though later in the budget year. What we've seen, I shared some of the numbers on where we are in that cash balance of over $1 billion today. Tax receipts, meaning people that bought something yesterday and paid sales tax, those are up year over year, and they're up somewhat dramatically. So we will have a positive cash flow. Others have reported it as surplus. I hesitate to use that word because surplus money sounds like stuff that you can spend or experiment with. That's not what we have. We have more funds than we anticipated. So that's closing the gap on the sales tax, and we'll have a better indicator of where we are on that over the next several months.
Doug Ducey, I want to ask you about this rainy day fund. It's sure to come up during this session of the legislature, which gets underway next week. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What are some of your thoughts about a rainy day fund? And, of course, that word surplus will probably be emerging.
I'll be working hard every time it does emerge to let people know that it is a cash flow that's positive versus a surplus. But I think of it this way, Bill. This is the first balanced budget our state has had since 2007. This is a budget that brings in $8.3 billion, and it spends $8.3 billion. And there's no tricks, no gimmicks, no borrowing, and no rollovers in this budget. So it's been a while since we've actually lived within our means. I think that's something to be proud of, but we can't remember what happened in 2010 and 2009 and 2008. So any small business, any family out there, when they get back on their feet, they put money away for a rainy day. We have $0 in our rainy day fund or our state savings fund. Take your pick. And we've also taken on some debt because of the behavior of the last several years and how we funded our government. I think it's important that we begin to pay down that debt and that we start a state savings account. And those are going to be the two priorities that I'm going to advocate out of the Treasurer's office over this next legislative session.
Doug Ducey is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He's on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 if you have any questions for Mr. Ducey. I've got a question about the state's credit rating outlook, which was raised by Standard & Poor's on improvements in the budget. Where are we right now with that credit rating?
Our credit rating is AA-. And there was an outlook of negative, and that has been improved to stable. And that is positive. And I think when you look at the things that the state has done, the improvement in the cash balance, the actual reduction in spending, these types of things, along with a slight uptick in the economy, we can look for these types of things in terms of improvements in the state's credit rating. And these are indicators that the worst is behind us. We are slowly but surely moving in the right direction, but a word of caution from the Treasurer's office, Bill, is we are not out of the danger zone. So we should be very careful and cautious in spending and in allocation of taxpayer dollars over the next year at a minimum.
Mr. Ducey, question about growth in Arizona and population growth. A lot of the growth during the early part of this century, the last decade, was fueled by the fact that we were number one or two in population growth and the needs and demands that would cause on state and local governments. What do we see in terms of growth for the next few years, and how is the budget process accommodating what I assume is flat or negative growth?
Well, the numbers that I've seen, Shelley, have said that we have continued to grow through this downturn. So we've had a dramatic economic downturn, but the state has continued to grow in terms of population. And we have been the number one or two fastest growing states in the country over the past several decades, and I don't think there's any reason to anticipate that we won't continue to grow. I mean, we have the same attributes that we had before the recession, the same quality of life, the same great place to live, to work, and to play that we had in the 2005 time frame. The benefit that we have right now that we didn't have then is we are much more affordable. Arizona, Greater Phoenix, Greater Tucson, the rural areas are much more affordable. So I think we can expect to grow again in terms of population and in terms of an economy. And when you mentioned that we were flat or negative in terms of the economy, although the feeling around the economy is certainly negative and probably will remain that way until the trend line hits back to where we were in the 2007 time frame, our economy is ticking upward in the right direction. And as I mentioned, tax receipts in the treasurer's office, and I don't collect the taxes, I don't spend the taxes, I safeguard the tax dollars that have been collected and invest them on behalf of the taxpayer. We're seeing an increase in that tax collection, which tells me that there's more transactions going on.
Those taxes are both income taxes and sales taxes?
Yes, they are, Shelley.
I see. Thank you.
To one of the pledges that you made, Doug Ducey, when you ran for Arizona State Treasurer, is to make that office more transparent. Can people go onto a website and look at basically from a day-to-day picture how much the state has in the checkbook?
Absolutely, Bill. If you go to aztreasury.gov, that's the Arizona State Treasurer's website, the first thing you will see every day is the state's cash balance. And you can drill through that number to basically, with just a click or two, get to any government spending, any revenue collection that happens in our state government. And we're continually working to improve that website, make it more clear, more simple, and more transparent. We welcome any feedback that anybody has on it. But you can check the state's cash balance, just like the state treasurer does, every morning on aztreasury.gov. And if you want more information on what's going on, not only statewide, but fiscal issues that I think affect Arizona that come from Washington, D.C., you can go on my Facebook page and subscribe there or friend or follow on it. It's just Doug Ducey's Facebook page, and Doug Ducey is as well at Doug Ducey on Twitter.
Well, it's been quite a turnaround. A year ago, folks were talking about the B word, bankrupt, had come up for the state of Arizona.
Yes, words like bankrupt, insolvent, structurally broken were words that were being used all over the place just a year ago. And today we are talking about positive cash flow, and some others will say the word surplus. But it's a better spot to be in. The arguments and debates and discussions that we're going to have are going to be more fun because we can talk about a brighter day for our state in the future. And what I want to be a proponent of is being thoughtful and thinking long term, something that doesn't seem to happen very often in government. But coming from the private sector and having built a business and weathered both good times and bad times, I do want to encourage and advocate that long term thinking.
Doug Ducey, thank you very much, and good luck to you in 2012 and the state's money picture.
Thanks a lot, Bill, and thank you, Shelley, and I'll look forward to coming by and visiting next time I'm down in Tucson and Pima County.
We'd like to see you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
12:18 coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley will be sticking around, and 10 reasons that stocks may rise in 2012. Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. It's next on the Buckmaster Show.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, thanks for helping out on the Doug Ducey interview. He had some very interesting things to say. I'm glad the state's financial picture is looking brighter.
No, I agree, and thank you very much for allowing me to participate in that.
But, yes, it's brighter, but at what cost?
Well, you know, we broke a bunch of stuff in order to cut costs and get to the point where we now can see some green ink on the ledger, and we have to unbreak some of that stuff because Arizona can't be competitive unless we fix the education system and unless we continue to be a good place for people to move to. That's kind of what I was getting at with that question about inward movement of business and people.
Shelley, you had another great year for your prognostications. I keep looking for this crystal ball. He keeps it, I think, in the trunk of his car. I'm not sure where Shelley Fishman does it, but he's got 3 years in a row. You are within, let's say a half a percentage point on your prediction for the Dow for
yeah,
the year?
Yeah, we said about 6. I was hoping for a little more than that. And on Thursday at the close, we were actually closer to 7, but we wound up at about 5.54% on the Dow. The S&P was flat, which is a little bit of a disappointment, and NASDAQ actually lost some ground.
Some of these indexes, though, did fantastic.
Well, that's the thing to understand is that if you focus on the major corporations, then you're only looking at a very small piece of the economy. One of the great ironies of the past year, in fact, the past decade, is that fixed income bonds did better than equities. And in fact, last year, the least likely of all the bonds to outperform everything, long-term treasuries, actually yielded, and I have the exact number here, 32.2%.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Medium term, over 20%. And even the tips, the inflation-based treasuries, did over 12% last year. So if you take a very defensive or if you took a very defensive posture in your investing, you probably outperformed most of your colleagues and your friends and neighbors. What's interesting is the stuff that we all said was going to grow, the interesting sectors, the biotech, the emerging markets, that stuff didn't do very well at all last year.
Adam Schell, writing in USA Today, says there are 10 reasons stocks may rise in 2012. Schell, I am going to go through this list very quickly, then get your opinion. U.S. is the best house on a bad block. A happy ending in Europe is possible. Stocks are priced attractively. Corporate earnings outlook still strong. Election cycle favors gains. Housing, auto markets in recovery mode. 2011, uncertainties starting to wane. History says stocks are poised to rise. China, hard landing fears overblown. And number 10, no trend lasts forever.
Okay, so let's look at the ones that are not crystal ball or are not, you know, magical thinking. Mm-hmm. First of all, the U.S. is the best house on a bad block. That's true. The U.S. is the safe haven for dollars, and when you have nowhere else to put your money, putting it in the U.S. is a good place to put it. That, to me, says more about treasuries than it does about and bonds than it does about equities. A happy ending in Europe is possible. I suppose all things are possible.
Yeah,
I'm pretty optimistic that they're gonna work their way through this, but. I believe that we're going to continue to have this roller coaster as we have good and bad news out of Europe on an almost minute-by-minute basis. Stocks are priced attractively. That's absolutely true. U.S. stocks are priced very attractively based upon their earnings, but that word attractive is always relative to what people are willing to pay in terms of price to earnings for any given stock. Today, investors are a lot more cautious and conservative than they were 4 or 5 years ago. So I think U.S. stocks are priced attractively, but I don't think we have any fire sales going on. Europe is another issue entirely. Europe is forecasted to go into a flat or a slight recessionary period. Stock markets are typically leading indicators. So European stocks would appear right now to be on sale. And so in that sense, there's some money to be made there, I believe.
Corporate earnings outlook still strong? You agree
Very
with that?
Strong. Okay. Less strong this coming year than they were in the past year. And the reason for that is we're not seeing a lot of investment. Demand is still pretty flat and slow to grow. As a result, at some point, you know, that corporate profits depend on sales. That sounds like a truism. But if we're not seeing the sales, then profits are going to be cut back. Corporations have cut to the bone in terms of their cost structure. So you'll still see, I think, healthy profits, but not the kind of profits you saw this year.
Election year cycles usually are I don't know. I don't know the historical outlook on that.
You know,
it's hard to check that one out.
That's guess.
Yeah. And then housing, auto markets starting to recover.
Well,
I guess that's true.
I mean, housing, if the housing market starts to recover, if prices come up and people start buying up that very cheap inventory. By the way, that's going to depend very much on banks being willing to lend. If that all happens, then you will definitely see a flow through into the economy.
Uncertainties waning. Well,
that's what we've been talking about, really. I think when you take a look at us having gotten through some very difficult economic times and not only survived but continued to grow, even albeit at a slow pace, I think that, you know, a lot of market performance is psychological. It has to do with attitude. It has to do with people being willing to have faith that things are going to grow. And I do believe that that's on the upswing.
A lot of fear about China.
Well, you know, China fears, again, everything is relative. We were afraid that the Chinese economy would shut down on inflation fears. I don't believe anybody thinks that that's going to happen. I think the worst that's going to happen is that their economy is going to slow all the way down to 8 or 9% from 12.
And to put things in perspective, you mentioned before we went on the air this morning that the first day of the market opening in 2011 looked like a nice day.
It was a day like today. I mean, it was
over 200 points.
Yeah. What I did is I made a mistake when I was taking a look at some of these indexes, and I looked at the end of January 3rd, and went to the end of December, and I got completely different results. And then I said, oh, my God, that was stupid. Had to go to December 31st, of course. We had like a 2 or 3% day in the first day trading day of January of 2010. We're having it again today.
Where can folks get a hold of Shelley Fishman?
795-7950.
And you are accessible.
Oh, I try to be.
And Pyramid Credit Union?
At Pyramid Credit Union, and it's www.shelleyfishman.com. And Pyramid Credit Union, effective today, is a much bigger credit union because we have merged with Tucson Telco Credit Union.
Happy New Year, Shelley.
And to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney is still looking past his rivals, focusing on President Obama, with the Iowa caucuses just hours away now. He tells supporters in Des Moines that this has been a failed presidency. And the man who, according to the polls, has surged into third place among Republicans in Iowa tells young voters in the state that they need to hold the candidates accountable for what he calls exploding government. Rick Santorum spoke today at a Rock the Vote event near Des Moines. Turns out that the tip to Los Angeles police about the suspect in last week's series of arson fires in the L.A. area came from federal authorities. Wall Street remains in rally mode. The Dow is up about 216 points, 12,433. The NASDAQ, 46 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
.34 on the one-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show. Where did 2011 go? Well, is 2012 going to be a year that Arizona's film industry turns the corner in an effort to return to the once glory days of movie making here in Southern Arizona? Our next guest is hoping so. Eric Schumacher is a local Tucson filmmaker, and he's the immediate president, past president, of the board of directors of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. Eric, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thanks for having us back.
Are you optimistic about something you call Picture Arizona? You've incorporated now, formed an LLC with this concept. What is that about?
Well, Picture Arizona is essentially the concept is creating, we've reevaluated how film is made and tried to reconfigure it for Southern Arizona. The idea is to give the independent filmmaker a chance and keep everything local as much as possible by creating, for lack of better words, a studio without a studio. The basic idea behind it is we consolidate resources. So, for example, we make and the basic idea behind it is not revolutionary. It's the details of how we implement it that's revolutionary. But in essence, we take consolidated film packages. We create slates of packages vetted from scripts that we receive from the community and some from out of state, but mostly local scripts, and put them together into packages and then create value buying propositions for all the resources that we need for those packages in such a way that we can then cut the costs of each production and
still maintain the quality that you want.
Exactly. High degree of quality control, a centralized management for each production to make sure that everything is a top level of production. And basically, when the investor drops money into a project, they're not just dropping money into a single project, and you've got to look at each film is essentially a new business. So instead of investing in one business, they're actually investing in, for example, five to six businesses at once, and all the resources are being managed by a central source and shared by a central source to cut the cost of production, minimize the risk for the investor, and increase the possibility of success for everybody, all done in a way that we've tooled specifically to be as beneficial to our community and build as many jobs as possible right here.
So it's a win-win. It's attractive for the investor. There's an expansion of the package is more expansive than investing in a single project. Plus, you're dealing with local filmmakers and people who are in the film industry. They can perhaps get work rather than just once, maybe every 6 months here. They could be working almost full time.
In theory, yeah. We would, you know, the idea is it will go to, for example, local crew and by the way, the multitude of other businesses that would support film. You know, you got caterers and lawyers and painters and construction workers, et cetera, and say, you know, okay, you're normally going to be working, you know, you may work only occasionally, and some of that will be out of state. Would you be willing to, you know, basically cut your rate a little bit if we could keep you busy for, say, 18 solid months? And, you know, so essentially we're lowering the overhead for each of these productions, but still getting everybody paid a reasonable wage and making sure that they are working regularly. That's part of the plan.
Eric Schumacher is with us. He's a local Tucson filmmaker, and he is part of this Picture Arizona, which has now you have an LLC with this, so you're moving forward. What are some of your projects that you're planning, or what are the plans right now?
Well, right now we have our website is up, and we're doing a little bit of retooling on it, but you can view it at www.picarizona.com. PicArizona.com. That's PicArizona.com. We thought that was poetic.
PicArizona.
And we are...
Over New Mexico.
Right, or anybody else for that matter. You know, there are 30 other states that have very, very robust film industries right now. And we have... we're finishing vetting our first slate of films. At the moment, we expect to have 3 feature films and 2 episodic series. And our goal is to be shooting is within the year to be have cameras rolling all over southern Arizona. We have a project that we're planning for Cochise County specifically. We'd like to use Bisbee. We have other projects that are that are set throughout Arizona, and many of them actually specifically highlight Arizona. I mean, with film magic right now, we can make anything look like anything, but we actually have some projects that are actually physically feature Tucson, for example, and other parts of southern Arizona.
So it would be heavily invested. Picture Arizona will be heavily invested in the southern portion of the state.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
it reminds me a little bit about what's going on in Seattle with their film industry. Very much localized. Mm-hmm. There's a certain Seattle film school, and they don't rely so much on the state of Washington for their funding.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, this is, trying to keep it local is a trend, certainly, and a good trend. I mean, film is a multi-billion-dollar business, and a lot of people don't realize that, particularly, again, we're talking about independent film here, which represents about 25% of the overall film industry. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Big studios control about 75%. 25% is still a lot of money and a lot of opportunity. And even in many of the states, while we certainly would love Hollywood to come back here, even in many of the states that have successfully wooed Hollywood, a significantly large percentage, in many cases much larger percentage, of the actual revenue is being generated by independent filmmakers.
So it's a lot of jobs that would be potentially created here in southern Arizona.
Absolutely, hundreds.
People who might decide they want to stay local and rather than go out of state.
Absolutely. And more than that, it's the other kinds of businesses, again, that support. I mean, one of the beautiful things about it is that since there really isn't a terribly robust film industry right now in southern Arizona, essentially what we'd be creating is something that we'll need vendors for all sorts of stuff. It's very similar to the construction industry in a lot of ways. You need a lot of the same stuff. You got to feed people. You got to clothe people. You got to do zoning.
You got to build things,
et cetera. Yeah, and
sets.
And this is so essentially we would be stimulating a bunch of business without competing with already existing businesses, and that's totally beautiful. Not to mention, it's a nearly green industry. I mean, there's really very little downside to film in terms of its benefit to a community, a lot of upsides. And we can do this for relatively little money, and really make a huge impact on our economy and our general public faith, while stimulating tourism and getting the word out about our region as a great place to visit.
I think it's a great idea, and it's the idea is starting to really you're starting to make this happen. PIC, then Arizona.com. Did
yes.
I get that straight?
That's absolutely
the website.
Right. I should add, by the way, we do have a particular opportunity right now with a film called The Forsaken that was brought to us, which is seeking finishing funds. It's a fantastic Western. Please do visit our website to take a look at more about that.
Great opportunity, it sounds like.
Really
Thank
is.
You very much. Eric Schumacher has been with us, and he is really spearheading this Picture Arizona concept. Again, it's PICArizona.com. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year to you, Eric.
Thank you so much, Bill.
1243 on The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, Meg. Meg, I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Of course, this weekend marks the one-year anniversary of the January 8th Tucson shootings tragedy. The community will be marking the anniversary with actually dozens of events. Saturday, January 7th, a day-long event titled Beyond, Commemorate, Celebrate, and Commit is being put together by the family of slain congressional aide Gabe Zimmerman. Beyond is the inaugural event of the Tucson Trails Tribute Fund, which was established by Gabe's family to support a sense of community through enjoyment of the outdoors, particularly public lands. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Gabe's dad, Ross Zimmerman, who's leading the Beyond movement in the spirit of his son. Also with me in studio is Neil Cash. Mr. Cash is CEO of the Community Partnership of Southern Arizona. CPSA is the regional behavioral health authority charged by the state of Arizona with overseeing public behavioral health services, including crisis care. Mr. Zimmerman and Neil Cash, thank you both for being with us today.
Great. It's nice to be here, Bill, and I just want to wish everyone out there a happy and healthy New Year.
Same to you. And Ross, good to have you with us.
Yes, and Yes, please call me Ross, Bill.
I will.
not Mr. Zimmerman.
Well, Ross, tell me a little bit about the Tucson Trails tribute. I've been going through this list, I mean, of the Beyond events. I've counted probably about, looks like about 24 different events coming up.
Yes, and actually, I want to modify a little bit what you said about the purpose of the Tucson Trails tribute, because it really is more directly related to the work of Neil's group and other behavioral health groups than you might think. Our thought process when we were trying to think about ways to honor the folks who were slain or affected by the tragedy is that we looked at the incredible public spaces around us, because Tucson really is unusual. We have more trail systems ringing the metropolitan area than any other city in the country. We biologically are one of the most unique areas in the country. How can we use those spaces to engage people, to get them out physically and mentally active together, and certainly support the sense of community, but the real focus is using this as a proactive behavioral health tool, which actually relates to some programs that Neil's organization has in place that he's spoken of before.
And I want to bring Neil into the conversation. Neil, this has been a very, very difficult year for so many people, but I guess the issue of mental illness, one of the good things that has come out of this, it's shining a light on a huge problem.
I think if there is good that can come out of tragedy, we've done, I think, a remarkable job in this community. I think what Ross is saying and some of the events that are tied into the Beyond certainly relate to mental health and mental health awareness. We've also put together some other interesting programs, and the program that we really implemented in force after January 8th was Mental Health First Aid Training. And that really is designed to train people in how to identify and understand the early signs and symptoms of mental illness, and perhaps more importantly, to understand what resources are out there for help, and then how do you get people to those resources, for example, to get people to the right place at the right time for the right kinds of services. So right now, to date, we've trained over 600 people just alone in this community who are equipped now to be able to do that, very much like those of us that have received training in first aid and know how to respond perhaps on the scene of an accident or when somebody is having a physical problem until emergency help gets there.
Ross Zimmerman, where do people begin to perhaps they want to take part, but they look at the list. And again, that list was in yesterday's Arizona Daily Star, but it's also on your website, right? Beyond-Tucson.org. Where do you suggest people begin?
well,
think about an activity that you're interested in and go from there, or what?
Well, yeah. Here, let's talk a little bit about the concept.
Yeah.
Shortly after we were able to hire an executive director, Michelle Crow, who's done an incredible job pulling this together, we realized we needed to focus on the anniversary of the shootings and what we could do in a positive way. We staked out Saturday, the day before a lot of more somber things put on by other organizations, and said, how can we get as many people out and about in the region as possible, practicing what we preached in terms of being physically active, getting mentally engaged. And we quickly realized that the Tucson Trails Tribute could wrap its arms around one thing, the activities at Reed Park, which we call our central event, but that we needed a lot of partners to sponsor activities all over the region that would be fun and worthwhile, that had themes that folded into the larger Beyond umbrella. And what we really encourage people to do is look over the list, look at what's physically close to you or what calls to you, and participate in the event or events the course of that day that seems to you to fit your sense of the day and how you honor those lost in a joyous fashion.
Neil Cash, so many people are, when you have an anniversary like this, perhaps they've put it a little bit out of their mind, but now, of course, it's at the forefront. And some people, this may bring up some really bad, bad feelings for people, and they may need to talk to somebody.
There's no doubt that that's something that we've been very much preparing for. One of the things that we will be doing is that we will be at a number of the events that are being sponsored in the community over Saturday and Sunday and even after that. And we will have mental health trained mental health workers there that will be available to talk to people who perhaps are reliving or experiencing some very disturbing and troubling thoughts about the events last January 8th. So we're pleased to be able to do that. I think we can do a lot of early intervention and perhaps engage in some crisis counseling with people who are experiencing that. We also have a central crisis line. That is a community crisis line, 622-6000, and people can call that line at any time, day or night, 24/7, and speak to, again, trained crisis workers who can be who will be able to triage those calls and provide them with the kind of assistance that they need.
Again,
so we're happy to be able to do that.
622-6000.
I think the other thing that I just would want to piggyback on what Ross is saying is that, you know, it's so important for people to understand the integration of mind and body and the integration of both the physical and mental health, and that the Beyond events are, in fact, somewhat celebratory, and it will be fun, and there will be something for everybody. And so for people to understand that regardless of their own physical abilities, they need to get out there and they need to participate. And I think that the restorative nature of being in this beautiful community, in this beautiful environment on a beautiful day, and I know Saturday will be a beautiful day, is going to be very restorative, very healing. And I think that also mitigates, to some extent, the need for people to have to deal with some of the more troubling feelings and the more troubling things that they may be kind of contemplating.
Ross Zimmerman, this Beyond event will be every year. Then do you anticipate something on the first Saturday in January?
That's our thinking at this point. And actually, before I say more about that, I want to piggyback on Neil's comment. We got some very good coaching from the victim services group of the Pima County Attorney's Office about things to be concerned about in triggering responses as we put this event on. And Neil's organization, the Community Partnership of Southern Arizona, has been a huge help to us in approaching this in a careful, positive fashion. So we're trying to be very, very sensitive to the array of issues, but we certainly want this to be the first year of something that goes on indefinitely and hopefully takes on a life of its own in a way that will engage the community. And, of course, during the year, the sponsoring organization Tucson Trails Tribute is going to be doing various other activities in this spirit. It's not just one event a year.
Ross, how are you doing personally right now?
Well, I miss my son every day, and I think about him frequently every day. There's nothing about the anniversary of the shootings one way or another that is in and of itself an issue for me. What happens, of course, in the course of the day is I encounter things that remind me of Gabe, and it's my thoughts go up and down. I have to cope. And that's, you know, what choice do those of us who've lost somebody have but to try and cope as best we can and to continue forward in the way that we think that person would have wanted us to continue. I mean, Gabe would have thought this was a great event.
He loved the outdoors, and he'd be out there walking and hiking, wouldn't he?
Oh, he'd be up to his eyeballs in it. And, you know, I just keep encountering these things where I'd really like to talk to Gabe about it, and he's not there to talk to.
Yeah. Neil, how are you doing through all of this?
I'm doing fine. Again, it's the kind of memories that kind of get dredged up at this point in time. And I think that the one thing that I do feel just so good about is how this community has come together since January 8th.
Yes.
The number of things that this community can kind of show the rest of the nation and the world, for that matter, as to how we can kind of live together in a much more civil way and treat people and each other with a lot more respect and dignity. The kinds of things that have come out of such a horrific tragedy has been nothing short of remarkable, and we can spend another hour talking about those things. But, you know, that's what makes me proud, and that's what kind of keeps me going day to day, particularly around the time of that we're experiencing right now.
Ross and Neil, thank you very much. I think it really has shown that Tucson is a great place and a real shining light through a lot of heartache. And again, that's beyond-tucson.org for the whole list. Gentlemen, thank you for being with me on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Reminder, tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we will have Dr. Andrew Weil for a half an hour answering your questions. That'll be coming up tomorrow, along with Dr. Roy Flores, Chancellor of Pima Community College. And that's coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.